Are you ready to rock, boys and girls?
Behold, it's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, it's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Garten Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Now, here's Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Good Tuesday morning to you. How are you doing? What a beautiful, beautiful day in the neighborhood. Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Good morning.
Good morning. How you
doing? How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Beautiful day.
Gorgeous day in our beautiful music city.
Beautiful day. We lament the weather too much,
yep.
So let's give Mother Nature some props.
Yes, yes. Got to give credit where it's due. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Nice day today.
Charlie, good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Since you guys are always complaining about the weather, I'm fine with it.
At least we're consistent.
Touche, right?
At least we're consistent. Yeah.
You know, but it is spring, right? So we're going to get all kind of stuff. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. So I hope everybody's doing all right. Going to have some folks on the radio. Chris Mason, if he's can compose himself, will be on with us at 9:25
I'm having trouble composing
morning.
Myself after what we saw at the end of that game last night,
yeah,
which
was,
I know we'll get into.
It was
into.
An amazing moment, and we will. Amazing moment, and that's cool. Jim Wyatt. We hadn't talked to Jim Wyatt since the draft.
Yep.
So now with the little distance between it, we have Jim on. Of course,
little
senior
State
writer.
Of the Titans address.
Yeah.
See if he's heard any rumors about Julio Jones or all these other Aaron Rodgers or all these other crazy Titans rumors going around. So we'll get his feel on that.
What's Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend's name? The actress. Oh, I can't. I've drawn a blank. But
yeah.
She was seen. She doesn't have any kids, but she was seen at NBA anyway, just going up.
Yeah,
going over there.
She was looking at houses in Brentwood.
Yeah,
I seen her.
But do want to mention this because I just found out last night, 10:05, Bucky Dent on Thursday.
Yeah.
Bucky Dent. He's going to be the featured speaker at the 80th annual Nashville Old Timers Baseball Banquet.
Mm-hmm.
A large shout out to our friend Skip Nipper for helping to facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bucky Dent.
Well,
Thursday.
As a Yankee fan, obviously I'll be looking forward to talking to Bucky Dent. You know, he's famous in New York. He's infamous in Boston, you know, for that home run he hit in the 1978. What was that? Like a game 163, I guess it was. And, so I'm sure, you know, he's been able to get a lot of mileage out of that home run, let me tell you.
And his nickname.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which we cannot.
We
use.
Cannot. Yeah.
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 But,
if we were on in a New England state, he'd be referred to as a different name other than Bucky Dent. There'd be something in the middle between Bucky and Dent.
Yes. last night at Bridgestone Arena, Predators 5, Hurricanes nothing. Grimaldi is 10th, Duchesne with number 5, and then number 6 in the second, Johansson 7th of the year, and then Tanner Janot. Pekka with the 30 saves last night, 60th shutout. That places him 19th all-time. 369 wins, ties him for 19th all-time with Tom Barrasso. And, it was just, you don't know. In professional sports, if you see anybody says they know, they don't know. Was that his last game there? I don't know. Will he be back? I don't know.
Right. But, and yeah, I don't even think Pecorine knows it at this point.
But I tend to think he will be. I mean, quite frankly, he's going to be a backup anywhere, it's going to be here, wouldn't it?
Listen, we'll find out in due course.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was able to get the shutout, that he was able to take his victory lap, you know, on the ice at Bridgestone Arena, and just the outpouring of adoration from the fans. I mean, I wasn't at the game last night, but I did watch it, and I got a little choked up because I've said on these airwaves many times, I think the world of Pecorine, the guy's a world-class pro athlete, nicest pro athlete I've ever been around in my life. And, you know, he's a Hall of Fame human being, and he's meant so much to this franchise and this city. I know we've talked about it, and you know, I was just really happy for him because, you know, there are a lot of jerks in sports, right? And it's good to see something good happen to a good guy. Not just a great player, but a good guy. And, you know, I'll beat the drum for Pecorine till the day I die. And I don't really know the guy that well, other than like a reporter athlete relationship, but I just think the world of him. I love the way he goes about his business, and you know, to see him circle the ice last night, and you could read his lips. He just kept looking at the crowd, saying, "I love you guys." And he does. He loves this city. He loves those fans, and they love him right back. And it was really cool to see last night.
Fun moment. You know, you look at just in the past, 20 plus years, pro mm-hmm. sports at the highest level. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been really obviously Eddie George, Steve McNair, Pekka Rinne, maybe Shea Weber's in that conversation,
right.
And a few others. But you have to have success on the ice to make your outreach in the community more impactive, right?
Yep.
Impactful.
Yep.
And that's what happened. He used that success on the ice with his leukemia foundation, all the different, the foundation he has with Shea,
mm-hmm.
you with that, and, just, it was really cool, moment, and one of those that make you like sports.
Exactly.
There's so much crap in sports.
Yep.
You know, and like I said, who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Later.
Like I said, I would guess, you know, if you put the lasso of truth on Pekka Rinne, he probably doesn't know what his immediate and long-term future is. You're right. You could be right. He may say, you know what? I'll stay here and I'll be the backup. You know, I'll stay here a couple more years. Why not? I love it here. You know, him and Saros have a great relationship, kind of a big brother, little brother type thing. And I think a big part of him would love to stay and help develop, you know, UC Saros into being the number one goaltender, which he certainly established himself to be. And, you know, maybe kind of open the door for the, you know, the draft pick.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. But great moment last night. And you know what? For the Preds, listen, it was quote unquote a meaningless game. But think about it. If the series had started already, they'd be up 2-0.
Yeah, and certainly the limited lineups on both sides, but a very hungry limited lineup on the Predator side.
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, very, very scrappy. You know, guys were getting into it and stuff. And so, I don't know. I'll ask Charlie here. Is this, you know, do you take anything
slow
from
down.
This?
Slow down.
That's why I asked.
The Carolina Hurricanes came here on Saturday already clinching the division and clearly decided not to go for the President's Trophy. They put in their taxi squad last night. Let's not start thinking because the Nashville Predators won two exhibition games on home ice against Carolina that suddenly they're going to dominate a best-of-seven series. Let's all calm down just a little bit.
Don't call all on me because I agree with you 100%.
We're very much enjoying the emotional evening that was last night. But if you're going to extrapolate to next weekend and think that you're going to get the same effort out of the Carolina Hurricanes that you did the last two games – go ahead and give me your money now, because the Carolina Hurricanes are going to turn things on. They're going to turn things up. Don't make me be the wet blanket here, but you're getting a little too far ahead of your skates if you think because the Preds went 2-5-1 against Carolina, being the two wins being in essentially meaningless games for the Carolina Hurricanes, that it's going to somehow lead to the Predators being able to win 4 out of 7. I'd love nothing more. It'd be great for business, be a great story. And, of course, there's enough evidence historically to show that a bottom seed can beat a top seed and that winning a division doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything other than starting on home ice for Game 1 and Game 2. But don't forget, Nedeljkovic started on Saturday night, and we also saw the backup goaltender go last night. We haven't even seen the starter yet in the series for the Carolina Hurricanes. So at the end of the thing, the Preds picked up 5 out of 16 points, outscored 24-17 on the season series. And yes, all of those things are tough numbers to look at. The 2-5-1 looks better than it could have if they had dropped these two games. The Preds do finish the regular season 16 points behind the Carolina Hurricanes, so your 1-4 matchup is set. We do know that the playoffs are going to start next Saturday. We do not have game one, day, or time yet between the Preds and the Canes. Florida will host Tampa Bay in the 2-3 matchup in the home ice advantage in that one. So that gets your Central Division all set up. And the final division between the Preds and the Dallas Stars, guys, now that the season is over, 4 points is the final separation for the Preds over the Dallas Stars. And, of course, we finish with the Blackhawks, Red Wings, and Columbus Blue Jackets, respectively, in that order to finish out the Central Division. So, statistically, these two teams are very outmatched, but the Preds, we'll see what kind of confidence they built up over the last couple of games. They have not dealt with the Janot show until last night, and Tanner Janot, if he's not in the lineup, I'm fighting both of you. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I'm saying that because I don't think it's going to be an issue. Yeah. But Janot's going to be back in the lineup. Great to see Olivier back in the lineup. Tell me about Victor Arvidsson now. That's what I need to know coming up in the next couple of days. Once we find out about his injury report, we can kind of speculate and lay out the lines. But Matt Duchene last night getting an opportunity on one of the top line spots and coming through with two goals. Well, don't forget, fellas, he had a two-goal game at the start of the season. Now he had a two-goal game at the end of the season. He only had two goals between those two particular games. So Duchene last night, Johansson last night, both of them putting in big-time performances at the center position. So we'll see what that means for Duchene going forward. Also, Rocco Grimaldi making his case. John Hines has got more difficult decisions than we are aware of at this point. Rocco Grimaldi with some sick wheels last night out there on the ice. Shorthanded goal, Janot with the shorthanded goal. Johansson with a power play goal. Duchene with two goals. And on the defensive side of things, Fabbro and Ferentz, the future top D pair of the Nashville Predators franchise, got a chance to start and play together last night. Highly impressive. 22-33 and 22-29 in time on ice. Anytime your team gets a shutout, the D core has to have something to do with that. And while no, they were not perfect last night, led by the most experienced defenseman on the ice, Matt Benning, the Nashville Predators taxi squad D core got the job done last night. And of course, the biggest story of all is Pekka Rinne, and that's going to continue to be the story. 30 out of 30, 369th win. You mentioned that, Greg, tied 19th all time with Tom Barrasso. 60th shutout puts them all alone, 19th all time. There's only something like four goaltenders in history that have a better goals against average and something like three that have a better save percentage all time than Pekka Rinne. He is a Hall of Famer. We can discuss the future at great length coming up, but I think that what we need to lay out is the facts right now. A lot of emotion got in the way yesterday. There is not a single report out there that Pekka Rinne is retiring, leaving the Nashville Predators, or leaving the NHL. Let me tell you the three pieces of information that we do factually know. We do know that he does not have a contract after this season. We do know that there is a team where he began his pro career back in Finland that has extended an invitation that he is welcome back at any time if he would like to go full circle and finish his career. That does not mean that he is leaving the NHL to go back to Finland tomorrow. Not in any means. The other piece of evidence that we have and that we know factually is that David Poile is on record and he has said he will speak with Pekka Rinne after the season. The plan has been, since the beginning, that Pekka Rinne would be the franchise goaltender until UC Saros was ready to take over, which is right now, and then Pekka Rinne would serve as the backup goaltender to UC Saros for a bit of time. Is that 1 year? Is that 2 years? We don't know. But what I think is going to happen, and this is my opinion, is that he is going to become a free agent. The expansion draft is going to come, and it is going to go. The Nashville Predators will not have to use a spot to protect Pekka Rinne in the expansion draft, and then he will re-sign as a free agent for 1, 2 years, or whatever it is that he determines he wants to finish out his career. He is too important to this franchise, too important in the room. It is a very young group. UC Saros is his understudy, and you saw the love, the respect mutually last night. Why would he want to walk away from that right now when he can enjoy the ride and then be there with his teammates, be there with UC Saros, and be there with the only franchise he's ever played for? He also said before the trade deadline, I don't want to be traded. I want to finish my career in Nashville. I think there's a whole lot more evidence pointing towards he's going to return to the Nashville Predators than there is that last night was the final performance. Was it a great night, an emotional night, a proper, respectful night for Pekka Rinne? He is a living legend. I have talked to you guys about it a number of times, how I feel he has always been underappreciated. Last night was the level of respect and appreciation that guy deserves every single time he takes the ice. And it would be fitting if he came back on a one-year contract and everybody knew from the start, this is it. Not this speculation, not this rumor mongering, not this trying to figure out what's going on from Finnish news articles, but to go on a true retirement from the Predators tour the way Chipper Jones did with the Atlanta Braves a couple of years ago, the way we've seen other players do, the way Kobe Bryant did, Derek Jeter did, the way living legends deserve to go out of the game. That's what my personal opinion is on this moving forward. I think that he comes back for at least one more year, serves as the backup, plays 15 to 20 games, gets a couple more wins, he moves up to top 15 all time.
It's Dave Mason's birthday.
Happy birthday. So it sounds like whatever happens, Charlie, in your mind, it's going to be up to Pekka Rinne.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's going to be up to David Poile,
okay,
the general manager of the team. But I think that David Poile is going to make an offer to
right.
the backup goaltender of the Nashville Predators. And listen, let's not forget, guys, let me just throw this quick number at you. Do you remember what UC Saros signed for in his last rotation?
What, $2
million? $1.5 million per season. Do you think the Predators are getting a pretty good value right now for UC Saros at $1.5 million?
Get a nice ROI contract? Right now.
Okay, but their backup goaltender's making $7 million. Okay, that, whoa! All right, so the contracts flip after this year. So then UC Saros is due for a very big raise in his next rotation. Pekarinen comes back, signs for a franchise favorable contract. He did just finish up a 7-year, $49 million contract. I think he's doing all right for himself. I do truly believe Pekarinen comes back and plays at least one more year with the Nashville Predators as the backup goaltender. I don't think there's anything disrespectful. People are saying, well, that's disrespectful. How? This has been the plan for the last 5 years. You've never heard UC Saros or Pekarinen complain about what the long-term plan was. It is honestly, guys, it's going exactly as it was laid out a couple of years ago by the Nashville Predators. We have seen the cross now, and now Saros is the starter, Rene is the backup. So give Rene a backup contract. Don't tell me he's not serviceable coming off the bench. He missed a month. He didn't play for a month and came in last night and looked as good as he's looked all season long. Pekarinen, historically, with a little bit of extra rest coming off the bench, he's just fine. I think he comes back. Last night was a great night. It was a shared experience for anybody who watched, anybody who went downtown to the rink, or anybody that was involved. It was a very emotional, very fun, and very good night for the Nashville Predators. Now, what does that mean going forward? I don't think it's a whole lot. I think that's it. Everything starts fresh today. Now we're in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I don't ever want Pekarinen to leave, so if he comes back for another year or two, I'd be very happy. So,
well, coming right up in about 5 minutes, Chris Mason, obviously we will further this conversation with that, and we'll go over all of those things. Yeah, but you're right, Charlie, all that. I would bet that he's coming back if I had to bet. But, it you know, it was one of those, in professional sports, I'm saying – no one knows what's in Pekka's head, okay? Mm-hmm. He plays his cards very close to his vest. Yep. All of those things you just said, yeah. But, I mean, sometimes people – I mean, there's been people walk away with what? I mean, you can name a bunch of people who walk away satisfied. We don't know where that satisfaction level will come for his career. But certainly, I would bet that he's back. What do you –
I hope he's back. I really
do. A few other notes. We've got the Nashville Sounds home opener tonight, 6:35. It starts a six-game series. They went 2-3 in Toledo. Their Sunday game was rained out. Also, Vanderbilt baseball tonight. Of course, we have that right here. They play North Alabama, 6:15. The pregame, 6:30. They got Ole Miss on the road this coming weekend. I'm seeing if I'm missing anything. It was announced yesterday that the playoff attendance will go from 33% to 70.7%. So they will allow – this is an agreement between Metro Public Health, the Predators, and the NHL. That will go to 12,135. But here on out, Bridgestone Arena events, concerts – 100%.
Yeah, as of Friday, everything is full go if you want to go full go.
But
right?
This is a deal with that 70% that is negotiated through with the league involvement in that as well. So, it sure looked, they have 70, something like 7,200, 7,500, something like that, but last night. But, yeah, what a great moment that was, and one that in Nashville sports history I think will be long remembered.
Absolutely.
If that was his swan song, then okay. If not, we'll see what happens. All right, that gets us going.
Said, as far as I'm concerned, he can stay as long as he wants.
Titans senior writer, editor Jim White is going to join us, but coming up next on the F&M Bank phone line, Chris Mason.
Mayday, mayday. This may be hard to believe, but there are four amazing games making the rounds this May.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh.
But make no mistake, all four are sure to cause mayhem all May long. So don't wait and run the risk of being, dismayed.
Oh, man.
Make a major play today with new May instant games.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you may find yourself making it rain with a major amount of cash. Yeah. New May instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You'd be amazed to learn what one Tennessee Lottery ticket can lead to. For you, it could be lucky, but for others, it could open the door to so much more. With nearly $6 billion raised for education, the Tennessee Lottery has proudly funded over 1.5 million scholarships and grants. That means, on average, more than 130,000 Tennesseans every year continue their education just because you played. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, education-benefiting fun.
And now Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, our premier full-service exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial, roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 and online at AbsoluteContractingPlus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, mostly sunny, high 69. Tonight, chance of showers, cloudy, lows 49. Sunshine for Wednesday, high 66. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows near 47. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio on WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio.
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Fogler, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall. And joining us now on the F&M Bank phone line, Predators, well, it's Bally on sport, on all that whole Fox thing's now Bally's.
I was aware of that, but thank
I didn't know if you knew that,
yeah,
John.
Thank you.
And Chris Mason is like the television guy who cried.
Really?
Made me cry last night.
I hear he used to play in the NHL, too.
Yeah. Chris, good morning.
Hi, Chris. What's up, Mace?
Hey, Chris.
Morning, Mace.
You didn't have to tell everybody that I cried, Greg.
Oh, everybody knows.
Bro, I cried.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah.
Was that on TV? Oh, no.
Oh, man. I was okay till you started.
Bro, I cried. I did. I was wiping away tears because, you know, like I said, Pekka Rinne has meant so much to this organization, this city. And I just, he's the nicest professional athlete I've ever covered. And, you know, he's that dude, man. He's right up there in this town with Steve McNair, Eddie George, as Greg said. I mean, he's a pillar of this sports community and has been for a long time.
Well, it's, you know, you're right. And you never know how those types of things are going to play out. And last night, I mean, we don't know if it's Pekka's last game or what the situation is. That's something that, you know, they're going to revisit at the end of the season and go from there. That's what most athletes do. I know he wants to keep playing, but that's when all the reflection kind of happens. But you know, I know what that's like to be in that situation when you're an older player and you don't know. You know, you think to yourself, I know the night before the game must have been tough for him. He said himself when in his interview with Kara that, you know, it was emotional in the warm-up. I saw him go skate over to his wife and his little baby boy and smile and have a moment with them during the warm-up. And you could just tell the energy when he came up for warm-up, when they announced his name, you know, all those emotions that are probably just coursing through, you know, Pekka's body to try to focus. You got a game to play and you want to play awesome. You could just see he just had this intensity and this resolve in the way that he played. He hasn't played in a month. He was phenomenal last night. And then for the game meant nothing, you know, in terms of the standings, but it meant so much for the city, for the fans, for Pekka, and for the players, the way they came out. Those games are hard to play. You know, there's nothing to play for season-wise. There's no implications, but the way they came out and the way they worked and played in front of Pekka and how awesome Pekka was, and then obviously the ending was the part. I think it got everybody. It's impossible not to when, you know, you see a guy that is, as you mentioned, probably one of the nicest people on this planet. He's humble. He's respectful. He's authentic. He is what you see in interviews. He looks people in the eye. He's just such a good person. And to see the love that the fans have, you know, it's more than love. It's a relationship. It's a bond. It's a special bond between Pekka and the fans. And same that, you know, the feelings that Pekka has for the people in this city. And it was, honestly, you know, you couldn't have written it up any better. It was a special, special moment.
You know, there's so much that was negative in sports that a moment like that is one of those that I'll remember forever, you know, because you want, that's the kind of positivity that you want out of sports, right? And did we lose Chris? Okay, we'll get him right back.
But I mean, Chris knows. I mean, you know, he knows how the sausage is made. And, you know, playing goaltender in the National Hockey League and playing it well consistently is very difficult to do, right? We've seen a lot of flashes in the pan, so to speak, over the years. But, you know, and I think he nailed it because Pecorine, he's not only a great guy, but he's authentic. He's not a phony. You know, a lot of you know, people, let's just say, want you to think they're nice people and they're kind of phonies. That guy's authentic. I, you know, every single time that I've ever, like, even on days he wasn't available to speak, I would see him and he would look me dead in the eye, as Mace said, and I think we got Mace back.
Yeah.
And he would look you dead in the eye and be like, "Hi, how you doing? Everything good?" And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm good. What are you worried about me for? You're Pecorine. You know?
Chris, I just thought you got emotional again, couldn't talk again, you know.
Yeah, I just had to grab a tissue, guys. Sorry about that. Bringing it out of me again. Thanks a lot.
I was saying, there's so much good, bad, whatever. Sports define so much of what our being is in our country, whether our countries, whether we like it or not, or around the world. But last night is what you really aspire for in sports. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, you know, being a bit melodramatic or what, but man, last night, I'll always remember, you know, that night and then you not being able to talk.
Yeah, it was tough. And you know what? You guys are exactly right. I mean, sports is a great outlet. It's great entertainment. Obviously, you know, we all love sports. But you know, when you look back at the season and the special season that it's been in terms of how this team has turned things around and when, you know, everybody counted them all. I remember talking with you guys about, hey, maybe they're going to, you know, trade Ekholm or do this and get assets. And you know, there was a point when everybody felt like it was dead in the water. And you'll remember the way that this team came together and galvanized and found a way. You know, they had this belief in the dressing room that was just unstoppable. And they did, you know, the unthinkable. And then to cap it off with a moment like that for, you know, the guy that whenever they see a Nashville Predators jersey will be the first player that always comes to mind will be Pecorine. And for him to have that moment and for, you know, selfishly for us to be able to share that, you know, with him and the city and the fans, those are the things you remember. I've played, you know, 20 years of professional hockey, and I can barely remember any specific games or saves or, you know, moments like that. But it's moments that what we just witnessed is what you remember and why it reminds you why you love sports. It's because you love the people that play. You want to cheer for the people. You love your team. But it's the guys that put on the jersey, and it's the people that are in the building cheering for you, and it's a special relationship to me for players and their fans. And when you have a city like Nashville that loves their team, that has been here since day one, fought to save this team, and Pecorine's been one of those guys. He's out in the community, and he, like, as you mentioned, John, he's out, he'll talk to you, look you in the eye, and this is a guy that, you know, humble beginnings, and he achieved a ton of success, and he's never changed. He just remains the same amazing human being, and I think those are the moments that, you know, when you look back on a season, a person's career, that will stick out to you, and it's because he's such a great guy, and you know, it was just, it was a really honor. It was an honor for me, and I'm sure all of us, to be able to share that. And, you know, we're talking about it now, and it just puts a smile on my face. And, you know, maybe more than any goal, or way more than any other goal or save or win that the team had this year. That was a really special moment.
Chris Mason with us, of course, the Preds TV analyst. What has allowed Pekka that platform for his community outreach, for everybody to get to know him, is certainly his success on the ice. 60th shutout, 19th all-time, 369 wins, tied for a 19th with Tom Barrasso. This from an eighth-round draft. But they don't even have eighth rounds anymore, do they? an eighth-round draft pick. I mean, I think we can get caught up on the person, you know, obviously today, but what he's done on the ice, incredible.
He's, you know, he's one of the best to ever play. He's one of the best goalies to ever play the game. And, you know, when he first started, there was a lot of years that the Predators, you know, weren't a great hockey team in terms of the skill and the salary cap and all that type of thing. And it was Pekka that was the guy that, you know, would carry this team. And that's no disrespect to any of the players playing on those teams, because they had a lot of good players, and eventually they, you know, they got good, when, and he was part of that as well. But Pekka is, it's, I just remember when I first saw him come over, and he was obviously played a little bit in Milwaukee. He was, as you mentioned, an eighth round draft pick, and kind of a guy somebody took a chance on, saw and saw, hey, this, you know, there's something there. This kid's got something. And he turned it into maybe a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he's in the history books. He's won the Vezina. He's taken this team against all odds to the Stanley Cup final. He's pretty much done it all. The only thing that, you know, has eluded him is a Stanley Cup, and that's not easy to get. And, you know, when you look back at the teams, it's you know, not necessarily it was always a possibility to get there, but, you know, he took him to the final, and he's just put up some incredible numbers. I mean, he's broke, I don't know how many records he's broken. He scored a goal, you know, last year. He's pretty much done it all. I mean, he's one of the best to have ever played the game.
Mace, as we look ahead to this series, obviously the Predators are going to be underdogs against the Hurricanes, and for good reason. They're an outstanding club. I mean, they are, you know, end-to-end. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, they're physical. If you had to point to one key for the Preds, you know, getting out of this series alive, what would it be?
I think that, you know, you saw the last two games, you have to keep them in the trenches. That's kind of one of the themes, I think, going into this series. You have to make it a street fight. You know, if you take penalties and you put them on the power play, or if you open it up and, you know, you're not as disciplined in your system and your defensive side of the game, they can make you pay. They got a lot of talented players. They're probably the fastest team in the league, top to bottom. They can fly. They can make plays. They work hard. But I think we've seen the last couple games the kind of effect that the Preds' physicality has had on them. They'll work hard and they'll get physical, but they can't get to the level that the Preds can. And I think you start, you know, getting in an opponent's head if you continually wear them down, and you every time you're going to finish your check and there's a scrum and you have five gold jerseys in there. And this is a different year and a type of team that we haven't seen for a very long time with the Predators is they can stand in there, and they have the edge physicality. They have guys that, you know, that Carolina can't match in that department. You know, when you look at Janot and Trennan, Colton Sissons and Matthew Olivier, and you look at their back end and the way that they play the game, Carolina doesn't have an answer for that if you can keep them in that type of hockey game. So, and the impact that they've had is the rest of the team plays like that. The rest of the team is playing that physical brand of hockey. And if you get Ryan Johansson engaged, you remember him in the playoffs in 2017 battling Ryan Kessler for six games, you know, and that was an all-out war that series, and they won that. And, you know, he was a huge part of that because he was engaged in that, and he can be dominant when he plays like that. You know, Matt Duchene, you see him, he's had a tough season, but he's coming around, and he's a guy that they're going to need to make an impact. If you get power play opportunities, you've got Forsberg, who's starting to find his groove, and Ellie Tolvanen actually looked really good last game. It's taken him a little bit to get back into it. So if you can, you know, chip in on the power play and special teams and you keep them in the trenches, I think that they have a chance to beat Carolina.
And the run that UC Saros has been on here the last, what, historical, right? And has to be one of the finalists for the Vezina, correct?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's good. You know what? At the end of the day, goaltending is the biggest factor. I think if they can get to that game, you know, that's going to really give them, I think, an edge in terms of increasing their chances of winning this series. But UC Saros, he's the team MVP this year. I mean, what he did in that last 2.5 months or whatever it was historical. I mean, his save percentage was all of a sudden 95% for that stretch of time is just, it's unbelievable. He's just absolutely dialed in. And every single game, you know, it's a powerful thing when you know, guys, you know, he's going to go in there and he's going to play great every single night. It gives you the freedom as a player to be able to play your game and not have to worry about that what if. Or, you know, if we make a mistake, it's in the back of our net. It just gives you strength. It gives you belief as a hockey team that you can just go out there and play your game and you know that you're going to get great goaltending. And then, you know, if you can get off to – all the pressure is going to be on Carolina. They're going to go home. They almost won the President's Trophy. You know, you look at the season series. That's what everybody does. You know, they had – you know, they wiped the floor with Nashville the first 6 games. You know, the pressure's on them. You know, they have to go win. If Nashville, it goes down to Carolina and they get that first game or they split coming home, I mean, then you start, that little bit of self-doubt creeps in because of what happened here the last 2 games. And yet you have to get, you know, they'll have to start answering the hard questions. What about your goaltending or what about this? And well, you guys beat Nashville 6 times during the regular season. It changes the mentality of the series. And that stuff does have an effect on players. So, obviously you have a goaltender like Saros playing the way he is. That's an ace in the hole, but they've got that Alex Nedeljkovic. He's a rookie, but he's had a great season. He's been up there with Saros in terms of, you know, numbers and his play as well last. So that'll be one of the biggest factors in this series, but he's never played in the playoffs. He doesn't have as much experience. So we'll see if he can handle, you know, the light on this stage.
You guys, Bally's, you have the first series, correct?
Yes, we will do. We will do the first series. I think unless NBC takes a game, but we'll do the first series, and then if they advance past that, we will do pregame and postgame shows, I believe.
Let's hope you are.
Yes, I believe on this team. Hey, those guys in that room—they believe they can do it. They wouldn't have got here if they didn't. So I believe, man. I believe.
Chris, thanks as always, man.
Yeah, thanks, Mace.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
Chris Mason, CMace30 on the F&M Bank phone line. Hey, we're wide open to the top of the hour. You can give us a call, 615-844-5600.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to sirspeedymusiccity.com.
Indulgent Surfaces, Kitchens, and Baths would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution. This message is from the crew at Indulgent Surfaces, Kitchens, and Baths. Kitchens, baths, outdoor grills, and more. Give them a call for estimates at 615-656-8677. That's 615-656-8677. Like their Facebook page and follow them on Instagram. Indulgent Surfaces, Kitchens, and Baths. Your Nashville home remodeler, where Chad Bowles and his crew are wishing everyone a healthy and happy summer.
At NAPA, we keep things moving. If it has wheels and an engine, we help keep it on the road. And if it's on the road, we have parts for it. And if you need a part, you can get it fast, like same-day pickup or next-day delivery fast. At NAPA, when we're not thinking about cars, we're thinking about the people who drive them. Because when it comes to serving you and our community, our motor never quits. That's NAPA know-how. Same-day pickup and next-day delivery available at participating stores and on in-stock items only.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the app store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Haul. If you want to give us a call, please do, 615-844-5600. Enjoy talking. Always, see, Mace is great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so much fun.
Well, the thing about Mace is he's so knowledgeable about the game of hockey, number one. And number two, he's not that far removed from being a player, so he can really relate to what the players are going through, especially now as things ramp up and we get ready for the playoffs. You know, the mentality changes, everything ramps up a little bit. And I thought he brought up a good point. You know, if they can use their physicality against the Canes and stay out of the box, they have a shot. They are underdogs and, you know, deserved underdogs in this series, obviously. Carolina's a terrific team, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously the Preds are going in with a lot of confidence based on how they finished the season as opposed to how they started the season. Their goaltender is playing extremely well. And, you know, that's why you got to play the series, right? You got to play it out.
8-1s, obviously the history of 8s and 1s in the NHL.
Yep.
It's not crazy. An 8 in the NBA doesn't beat a 1.
No.
You know, never, ever.
Right. I think the Nuggets did it once to the Sonics, and that was like in the mid-90s.
Yeah, exactly. No 8 ever beats a 1 in the NBA.
And the Knicks did it the year in 99, but that was a weird year because there was only half a season and it was shortened and whatever. But anyway, you're right. The point you're making is 100% right. We always talk about that L.A. Kings team from 2012 or 13, whichever one it was, where they were the 16 seed, I believe, in the West, and Jonathan Quick got hot and they went all the way to Stanley Cup. So we've seen it before in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, it's more apt to happen in hockey than most other sports when you have the 16-1 matchup or whatever it is.
So, well, yeah, but
or the 8-1
in a conference.
Yeah.
But it could be 16-1 if the President's Trophy in the bottom of the wheel. But Carolina, I mean, there's a reason it was, went into the last weekend still thinking President's Trophy.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
And to Tampa Bay, Florida, to finish above those two. Although,
and Charlie brought up a great point. I mean, you know, if the Preds are able to get out of this series, you're going to be facing either a banged-up Tampa team or a banged-up Florida team. That series is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
That's going to be a war.
Yeah, Florida just smacked.
You know, it's going to be a very, as Charlie has said, there's going to be a serious Stanley Cup contender knocked out in round one because how the configuration of this playoffs are going. So, you know, It's going to be a fun ride. It really is. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Preds perform in this series. You know, I don't really have a dog in the fight. Love to see the Preds win, but you know, it's going to be fun to watch based on how they're playing now, how confident they seemingly are going into the playoffs versus a really good Carolina Hurricanes team.
Well, they're playing with house money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
2 months ago, you'd said they're in the playoffs. You'd said, no, you're crazy. But anyway, so should be fun. Saturday is what we're hearing. Charlie mentioned it earlier. So anyway, you want to get out and see baseball tonight. I do want to keep mentioning this. Sounds home opener tonight.
Yeah.
And by Friday night, just come on. Come on down. Right?
Yep.
These first three games with limited attendance and then with the thing. The Sounds. Of course, the Brewers trip. I love this.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the 2-3 start, but that, you know, records really don't matter in minor leagues. The Sounds, their first five games, 12 home runs. That's the most of any of the 20 Triple A East teams. They hit. So they're. Jeff Hem, I read the thing after Saturday's game. They'd hit a couple more home runs. They got rained out Sunday.
Right.
And he had called, you know, 12 long ball calls, and I just texted him, got that, you got your long ball call down yet? You
know, he says a lot of practice.
Yeah. He said, well, I better have it down. But,
yeah.
It should be fun to get out and see them, certainly. And then tonight, Vanderbilt baseball with North Alabama, 6:15, the pregame, 6:30. The first pitch, we'll have that with Kevin Ingram with that before they head off to Ole Miss. Down a half a game in the standings.
Yeah.
You know, there's six games to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee controls its destiny.
Yeah.
I know they got Arkansas coming in. Arkansas, by number anyway, the best team in the league.
Right.
They haven't played. They won't play Vanderbilt. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'd like to have seen Vanderbilt. You know, it's just the way the schedule configuration
right.
worked out. They don't
right.
play this regular season, but it would have been pretty cool to see.
Well, I just think the SEC tournament's going to be a lot of fun, don't
yeah.
you? I think it's going to be highly competitive. Yeah. Any number of a handful of teams can win it. And,
but it's different. I tell you what, the different. Tim Corbin goes down there, and we'll talk to him. No need to talk to him about what's going to happen in 2 weeks, because obviously that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
he goes down there to win it. He wants to. But there's
absolutely.
Other coaches that will go down there, and because of the turnaround to the already knowing your, for example, and I'm not saying Arkansas will or won't, or Tennessee will or won't, but Arkansas will host a regional and a super regional if they win. That's no matter what happens in Hoover.
Mm.
So that's, you know, different coaches approach it different ways. Some
yep.
of them will just, hey, we already know where we are. We know what we're set. You know, and I just like Tim's approach. I think you go in to win the SEC championship to carry that momentum forward.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you want to go in playing your best ball, right?
Yep. Let's do this. If you want to call us, we'll take a break. You want to give us a call, please do. 615-844-5600.
Yes, I'm excited that baseball's back because it means great weather, a cool beverage, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. There is a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, it's simple to use. They've got great odds on all the different betting markets. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, plans are Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Do you find yourself looking for new and exciting things to do locally with your family during the hot summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free. Kids Bowl Free is a summer pass where your kids 15 and under receive two free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join in on the fun. Visit any of the five local Strike and Spare locations in Hendersonville, Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, and Murfreesboro, or visit kidsbowlfree.com/Strike and Spare and sign up today. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Forecast. Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Today's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 70. Partly to mostly cloudy with a stray shower tonight, low 48. Partly sunny Wednesday, high 66. A stray shower Thursday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
If you want to give us a call, got Titans senior writer, editor, TennesseeTitans.com, Jim Wyatt. A couple moves yesterday, tight end Parker Hesse, outside linebacker Nate Orchard, and long snapper Matt Orzich were released. Just wanted to make sure that you didn't miss those monumental transactions.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Greg. I can go on with my day now.
Tis the season. It is. A little roster maneuverings.
Yeah, like, and, you know, the juicy stuff will probably come after June 1st when we get those June 1st cuts because you can make those cuts and it counts less towards your salary cap for the coming year.
Right.
So there could be some significant players let go.
Julio
available.
Jones.
Yeah, that's yeah,
I'm
that's,
telling you, that's going to happen, probably.
Oh, geez, there you go again with the...
I'm not saying he's going to come here, but I'm telling you the number that he's due is prohibitive.
No, I mean, but that's he is number one on the Titans fans shopping list, Christmas wish list now, is Julio Jones. So
let's go to the F&M Bank phone line down in Culioca. RD, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
What's up, RD?
RD, doing well. I was down in your neck of the woods. I was in Hohenwald, Hampshire, down in that neck of the woods. How about that part of Wayne County yesterday? I was lost.
Lost, but in a beautiful part of Tennessee.
It is. It is just unbelievable. Really is.
Hey, guys, in the future, sometime, I would really enjoy hearing you guys engage in an in-depth discussion / debate on the targeting rule. I know we're a little bit away from football, but college football's in the air. We all agree that targeting is needed, but the problem I have, situations where it's fourth and a yard, feet, or inches for a first down or touchdown, and the running back explodes into the line of scrimmage as low as he can get, and at times when all the defenders have to hit is the crown of his helmet. And this is not hypothetical. We've all seen that in that situation, targeting called. So I would really enjoy seeing what you guys, what your opinions are, and help clear up for us. Keep up the good job. Talk to you later.
All right. You want to try that one on for size?
So is he saying, like, the offensive players getting called for targeting?
Well, yeah, maybe they should more. I agree with what he's saying about the running backs leading with the crown or their helmet. You know, what are you going to hit with? That's the first thing you see. But what is it? I think it's an evolution, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you got to go so far to one side and then you reel it back to the middle because, as he even mentioned, I think it's necessary. I don't like its implementation. I don't like a lot of the, but if you leave, you know, there are things that you know you can't do, and it's just going to take over time. And maybe it trickles down to the high school level, the junior pro level, to learn to tackle with your head up, not leading with your top. Mm-hmm. And I think over time that targeting will become less of an issue. Does that make sense?
It does, because here's the thing, you know, I played rugby for 19 years, and you can't just blast into somebody because you don't have a helmet on, you don't have any equipment on, so you have to learn to get your head to the outside when you make a tackle and aim kind of for the opponent's midsection. And so I see no reason why that can't be taught in football. You know, LaVon Kirkland, who was an all-pro linebacker, middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I interviewed him about that, and he said, I never led with my helmet when I tackled. He's like, I always got my head to the outside. He was one of the surest tacklers in the NFL when he played. So
yeah, there's launching. So there's so many different things.
It can be done, and it can be taught, I believe.
All right, thank you for the call, RD. Coming up next hour, Jim Wyatt, 10:25. Your phone calls after this top of the hour break.
WPDQ Greensboro.
ABC News, I'm Alex Prechet. As consumers worry about a jump in the price of gas on the East Coast, we're learning more about the shadowy Eastern European group who hit Colonial Pipeline with a ransomware attack this week. ABC Chief Law and Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
The FBI identified DarkSide last October and says it has targeted a number of industries ranging from manufacturing to healthcare and insurance. Ransomware hacks are emerging as a huge problem. The Homeland Security Secretary recently warning that in the past year, such attacks spiked nearly 300%, with roughly $350 million extorted from U.S. companies and American consumers.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has scheduled a vote tomorrow on removing the number three Republican in the House from her leadership post. Liz Cheney has repeatedly spoken out against unproven claims that the election of 2020 was stolen from former President Trump. A gunman attacked a school in the Russian city of Kazan today. Eight people were killed, including seven children. This is ABC News.
Do you check your Google search results regularly? You should. People often get their first impression of you or your business online. Negative comments on the internet can impact your life and your livelihood. Take control of your online reputation. Get your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com. It may reveal negative posts from an ex-employee, upset patient or client, news article, legal issue, or even exposed personal information right there in your Google search results. Uncover what's lurking on the internet about you with reputationdefender.com's patented scan and get your free reputation report card. Or for immediate assistance with your reputation, call 800-401-6681. Our cutting-edge technology helps make your Google search results look their best. Call 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681. 800-401-6681. Or take the free scan at reputationdefender.com.
No one outfits golfers better than Edwin Watts Golf Shops. We've been fitting golfers since 1968. Utilizing cutting-edge fitting technology, we'll analyze your swing and our four-sight launch monitors and fit you with the perfect club, pair of shoes, the latest golf apparel, golf balls, bags, and more. So come by today for your complete custom fitting. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Napa Know-How.
Why get a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $27.99? Great question. Do you like getting $10 prepaid gift cards? Do you enjoy your car working? Do you love being called a genius? Who doesn't? Pick up Mobile One for $27.99 and get a $10 gift card. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States Pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state and local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 5/31/21.
Are you ready to rock, boys and girls?
Behold,
it's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Welcome back to the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Garden Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. Ow.
It is hour number two, hanging out in here. John Burton, Greg Pogue, Crazy Charlie, 615-844-5600. If you want to give us a call about 20 minutes from now, Titans writer, senior editor, Jim Wyatt. He's got, I was looking at Titans online. You can go to TennesseeTitans.com as well. A look at the 25-plus newcomers added by the Titans so far.
Yeah, I saw he tweeted that out. 25. Didn't get a chance to click on that. Yeah. I mean, that's... That's the nature of the beast in the NFL, man. There's minimum 30% roster change every year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have these opportunities to cash in, you got to take advantage of them. So,
have you seen a list of their undrafted free agents they've signed?
I have not.
I haven't either. Maybe yeah. Maybe it's part of this.
I don't know if they formally announced it or what the deal is, but I've not seen their list. I know they've signed some UDFAs, but I haven't really seen them.
Well, this list does include the all of them.
Oh, okay.
It's got everybody. Yeah, they're all in there. Yeah. So
a lot of newness to this roster, right? You know, it's going to be weird not seeing Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith or Adoree Jackson. You know, out there playing for the Titans.
Actually, this list does not include them. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
You're shooting from the hip again, weren't you?
Well, I thought the 25.
I'm messing with you.
No, that's I did. You know what happens when you assume,
yes,
right?
I do.
You know,
yes.
I just assumed that the 25. Yeah, but they usually sign anywhere from what 15 to 20, something like that. 25.
Yeah, I think around 15. Yeah, 14, yeah. 15. Yeah.
Well, we'll ask Jim about that.
All right.
Anything else? We don't know when rookie mini camp is.
I don't know.
We don't know squat.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
All right.
Just like most days.
Let's go to the phones. The F&M Bank phone line. Good morning, Clay. How you doing?
Hoagie, that's a different greeting.
Well, okay.
Which one were you expecting?
I don't know. I mean, which part?
JB?
Morning, Clay. How you doing, pal?
By that greeting, I think I've gained some kind of respect from Pogie.
Oh, you've always had it. You never lost it.
I don't know. Yeah, you. Hey, I'm pretty even. You're hot and cold, okay?
Derek Mason told me I was the same every day. He called me he said, Clay, you're like a shark. He said, you're the same every day.
All right, there you go. That's pretty cool.
I've seen otherwise.
Well, anyway, we're getting off the track here.
Yep.
I wanted to, right off the top.
Can I do it?
I wanted to wish, huh?
Can I do it?
What's that?
I know what you're going to do. I was wondering if I could do it. Bro, you go ahead. It's your mother.
No. You probably don't know what I'm going to do, Pogie.
Okay.
Another special day.
Mm-hmm.
Today is my mother's 94th birthday, guys.
Oh, God bless. Happy birthday.
Same age as when you said it on the Bill King show 2 hours ago.
Well, I'm just putting it out there on both shows, buddy.
That's fine, but you acted like I didn't know what was coming. I knew what was coming.
Oh,
94
okay.
years old. That is amazing.
God, but we should all be so lucky.
Yes.
God bless. Please give her our best.
Not many people live to be 94 years old, boys.
Nope. We should all be so lucky. Please give her our best.
I've been blessed with a wonderful mother. But anyway, on to some baseball talk, Corbs and his boys.
Mm.
No police activity up in the parking garage Friday night, Pogie.
I sent him an email, too.
Yeah, he ratted you out, man. He snitched on you.
I was up there for 4 or 5 innings and no problems.
Well, there you were. You were not acting a fool, drawing attention.
How were the crowds, Clay?
But seriously, guys,
Hey, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Back up a little bit. Because I've never been in the parking structure. How many levels, I guess the top, how many levels are people can be on to actually see the field?
Yeah, to see, honestly, I always go all the way up to the top, right, you know, where there's nothing above you. And up there, you can see pretty much everything except the right field corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's always people, you know, three or four, you know, each level, three or four levels below that. But I just think that's the best view up there.
Okay. I thought that would be cool. Like, I'd like to watch one of the Vandy football games in the hotel in the end zone.
Yeah, right.
You know, wasn't it an LSU parent or some parent of another team that did that so they could see their team kid play against Vandy this past year?
Yep.
But go ahead, Clay.
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Sunday gets rained out. Now Tennessee has a half game lead on Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee 17-7, Vandy 16-7. And you know, I just think that game, you know, that could end up being a pretty important game because we won the series against Tennessee, but everything I'm hearing, they're not going to make that game up.
No, that game is canceled, will not be made up. You heard correctly.
But I mean, I guess that's not going to, you know, affect our national seed or anything like that if Tennessee's first in the East and we're second. I mean, because we've pretty much been up there all, you know, all year. But I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. You're going to hope you win. You're going to host a regional. When you win, if and when that happens, you're going to host a super regional, regardless of what happens, you know, unless they just lose their last six games or something nuts. But yeah, they're fine.
Now, JB.
Yeah.
I have something. I need a huge favor from you.
Okay.
You need to text Leland and tell him to turn the heat up a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I love the sunshine.
I mean, is it ever going to get warm, boys?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, towards the end of the week.
Yeah, probably by August. Let me tell you what. We're going to be sitting there August 12th.
You're right. We're going to be sitting
there. And it's going to be 104 degrees.
And it's so hot. Jeez.
Remember that nice spring day back in May?
No, but I think it's going to be like mid-70s towards
fine.
The end of the week.
Yeah.
I do agree with Clay. I like it a little bit warmer, but we'll take it out. The sun is shining. I'm just sick of the rain. You know, I'm sick of all the rain and the mess.
So if you could take care of that for me, JB, I'd appreciate it.
I'm on it.
Thank you, Clay.
Well, boys, Pogie, by the way.
Yes, sir.
How are the steaks Friday night?
Medium rare and delicious.
So you like your steak medium rare?
I sure do.
How you take your steak, Clay? I'm more of a medium well guy. Medium to medium well.
Here, try this shoe next.
Yeah, I'm more in lines with you, John. I like just a little bit of red in it, but I don't like blood running out of my mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I'm with you. I'm with you, brother.
What is that? Oh, is that knockoff the? JB? What's that? Knock off the hooves and the horns and flip them twice.
Yeah,
and what?
Yeah, and serve it. Yeah. No, I'm not that dude. Yes.
We agree on everything except for your extreme, passionate hatred of the Dallas Cowboys.
Sports hate with the fire of a thousand suns. Have a good day, Clay.
See you,
thanks,
Clay.
Buddy.
Boys, have a wonderful day.
See you, man.
Clay on the Evident Bank phone line. Yeah, he called. You know, I listened to Bill coming in, right?
Yeah.
You know, and he's goes through. I mean, he did it the same the other day. You know, I knew what he was going to say, and I heard him on with Bill a couple hours ago saying it was his mom's 94th birthday, and I knew he was going to say, I knew what was coming next. Not a lot of people live that long. He said that very same phrase to Bill. Should I not steal his thunder on those things when it's a repeat performance? Nah, but it's different shows.
It's a different show, different audience.
Yeah, and we're missing the point. His mom's 94 years old.
Oh, listen.
Yes.
Clay's mom, if you're listening, happy 94th birthday.
Yep.
Here's the 94 more. God bless you. How about that?
Just, I'm seriously thinking. I wouldn't mind I thought about this the other day. I was out riding around and was listening to the baseball game.
I thought you were going
to
say you're out rollerblading. That would be a sight.
Yeah.
Is that Greg Pogue on rollerblades?
Yeah. But I was out and listening to the game on the station. And I'm thinking, you know, it wasn't this past. I think they played Saturday night, right?
Yeah, Saturday night,
a couple Saturdays ago or whenever. And it was a day game. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to go and park and get in. You know, go to this, couldn't get in anyway. Didn't have a ticket. Don't have a credential.
Right.
So I thought about driving to the parking structure, just driving up there and watch a couple innings.
Why not?
You know, that's what I thought. But I didn't.
Okay.
You know,
well,
but...
Do you regret it?
Well, I thought I might run into Clay. So.
You know what? In all seriousness, you would have made his day.
Yeah. Clay's cool.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
Yep.
He's harmless.
Yes, he
mostly.
Is.
He's mostly harms himself.
Right. Right. Self-inflicted.
615-844-5600. Grizzlies last night with another win. Beat the Pelicans 115-110. They've got the Mavericks tonight, and the Braves and the Blue Jays start a series. The Mets game up on, well, I'll tell you, this is, yeah, Mets a game up on the Phillies and a game and a half up on the Braves. Although, have you any word about Jacob DeGrom? I know he was going to get an MRI.
The Mets put him on the 10-day IL.
Okay.
Just, it doesn't appear to be serious, but he's got some soreness in his right side, like his right lat and all that. And DeGrom is so valuable. He's arguably the best pitcher in all of baseball, and he is the franchise for the New York Mets. So you have to take every precaution with a guy like that. And
Tightness in right side.
The Mets have had a very eventful start to their season. You know, they made up this mythical hitting/motivational coach and Donnie Diesel. Did you hear about that? And then supposedly Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil got in a fight in the dugout the other night. But when asked about it, Lindor said, "No, we were arguing over whether or not it was a rat or a raccoon in the dugout."
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. So what happened was a ball, you know, Lindor's playing shortstop, McNeil's playing second.
Yeah.
Ball hit to, you know, they had the shift on. So a ball hit. So Lindor's going to his left, McNeil's going to his right, and McNeil kind of cut off Lindor. Now, normally that's a shortstop's ball, right? Anything he can get to.
Yes.
It's his ball.
And for a play at first base,
coming across.
Yeah.
So he had to throw over McNeil. He short hopped the bag at first. The runner was safe, and they were kind of like mumbling under their breath to each other. And all of a sudden, you see the SNY camera, and all of a sudden, everybody from the Mets just ran into the dugout. So the belief was, and I believe their acting GM confirmed it, that McNeil and Lindor actually got into a little bit of a fight over that situation. Now, Lindor comes on, he's up that inning, and he hits a two-run home run, I believe, to either tie the game or put the Mets ahead, and Lindor was laughing about it afterwards. He's like, "No, we were just arguing whether or not. I thought it was a rat, he thought it was a raccoon." So,
see a lot of raccoons in dugouts, right?
So now you have that, then you have the Jacob DeGrom thing. The Mets have been very, very entertaining to start this season. So,
well,
that was like a thing for a few days.
Well, DeGrom, back-to-back Cy Youngs, and then last year... Second, third in the voting. So, he's
a terrific pitcher. And you remember that Mets rotation from a few years ago when they made the World Series, you know, they had Syndergaard and they had DeGrom and they had Matt Harvey, who they thought was going to be their number one guy. He flamed out, but, you know, they had Steven Matz. They had, you know, but DeGrom turned out to be the guy. And, so the problem with DeGrom is, well, the good thing about it is, now, when you're judging a Cy Young, you're not necessarily based on record because, for whatever reason, whenever that dude pitches, he can't get any run support. You know, and his record is not great, but his ERA is great. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is always great.
Well, who was the one for Seattle that won the Cy Young?
Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, he was
King
like
Felix.
Like 15-14 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember, you know, being a whiny Yankee fan, I think CC Sabathia won like 19 games that year, and I was like, "You should win the Cy Young." But you know, we're coming to learn that you know, baseball has changed so much because it's not so much about batting average; it's about you know, on base percentage. It's not so much about wins for a pitcher; it's about ERA, strikeouts to walk, you know, WAR, all that kind of stuff. So the analytics have really taken over baseball in terms of that. So we don't always have to look at a pitcher's one loss record to gauge how effective he is. Especially in DeGrom's case, because for whatever reason, like I said, when that guy starts, he'll go six innings and give up like a run, and they'll lose like 1-0. You know, he's a terrific pitcher.
It's all, of course, he is. It's all happenstance. That year, I've got it here.
Yeah,
I Googled it.
Nice.
Yeah. The AL Young that year. And this is why I knew it. This is why I remember it. David Price was runner up. CC Sabathia was third.
Right. And yeah. how many wins did CC have that year? Do you have like 19?
No, no. All right. Here's Hernandez went 13-12 and had a 2.27 ERA.
Right.
David Price went 19-6 with a 2.72. And then CC Sabathia won 21 games.
Wow.
So he went 21-7 with a ERA of
2.85?
A little higher, 3.18, almost a run higher than Hernandez, which is saying something, too, because Hernandez, well, no, Sabathia as well, all of these pitching in the American League, as a matter of fact, because that's the AL Cy Young voting. My God, I'm a dummy. That year, 13-12 won the Cy Young, and I remember David Price, I remember being PO'd about it, because obviously we want David Price to win it, 19-6.
I kind of wanted CC to win it, but David Price would have been...
You don't like David Price?
I like David Price a lot.
He's a good guy. Good family.
I like David Price a lot.
I can't believe you.
I know. I'm just another one of those jerk Yankee fans.
Yeah. Right? Well, hey, you want to put perspective on something. That year...
Mm-hmm.
AL MVP 2010, Josh Hamilton.
That's right. Put on that show at Yankee Stadium in the All-Star Game in the Home Run Derby.
Did he flame out again?
Yeah, he did, because he played a couple more years with the Rangers, and then he went to the Angels, right?
Yeah.
Around the time they signed Albert Pujols, and they had this stacked lineup, it looked like they were going to be the team in the AL, and it just didn't materialize. He kind of flamed out again. He had his moment, though.
Well, obviously, big time drug issues.
Yeah, but
talking heavy drugs.
He was deep in the belly of the beast. But I'll tell you this though, that guy was one of the most talented. To me, he was every bit as talented as a guy like Mike Trout. Could hit for power, hit for average. He was about a 4.5-5 tool player, a terrific talent. Just, couldn't get it. Like you said, he had abuse problems and just really couldn't get on track on a consistent basis. But man, when he was on and he was right, he was as good as any player you'll ever see in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's relapsing. If you just go and you can read about all of it. He was. Into some heavy stuff. Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Hey, Dane, we got a break. We got Jim Wyatt after it. Please call us back at 10:40. We'll always love to hear from Dane. But right after this break, Titans writer, senior editor Jim Wyatt.
Buying or selling a car is one of the biggest financial decisions you can make. That's why Edmunds has been taking the guesswork out of car shopping for over 50 years. Wherever you are in the process, Edmunds.com can help. They have tons of local listings for new and used vehicles with deal ratings that tell you if an offer is fair. And their free online tools can help you build your budget, calculate financing, or even get a free appraisal if you're selling or trading in. Not sure where to start looking? The Edmunds editorial team test drives over 300 new vehicles a year, reviewing almost every car on the market, so you can narrow down your search to their top-ranked SUVs, trucks, and more. And it's all about price, right? Price point. If you're selling or if you're buying, you get that free online appraisal for your trade-in, and also the price checker makes you feel more confident with the price quotes that you're getting. Whether you're just browsing or know exactly what you want, Edmunds gives you that extra boost of confidence. Visit Edmunds.com to get started. For cars, there's Edmunds.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Your exclusive national sports radio, WNSR SkyScan forecast. Today's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 70. Partly to mostly cloudy with a stray shower tonight, low 48. Partly sunny Wednesday, high 66. A stray shower Thursday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on national sports radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue, right here in the Strike and Spare Studios, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Goggin Codall. Jim Wyatt, we're laughing about having Jim on here. We're laying in the weeds for Jim. He's on the F&M Bank phone line. Jim is the Titan senior writer and editor, Titans, TennesseeTitans.com. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Jimmy.
Uh-oh. Laying in the weeds. What are you guys?
Well, we're just looking at these NL West standings there, Jimmy.
Dodgers are just reeling.
Yeah. You know, thought you had to worry about little brother, the Padres. How about them Los Gigantes up 21-14 leading the division, man?
It's still early.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I've been saying as a Yankee fan, yeah. Bro. So yeah.
They don't hand out trophies on May what? May 11th?
That's right.
But the last, was it the last time he were on, he talked to me, called the Padres little brother?
Little brother? He said they do a lot of talking in San Diego, but not winning a lot of championships.
That's true. And I will say this, they were hot a little bit early last year. So I think things will level off. My Dodgers have not been playing very well, certainly. Need to get it in gear, but I think when it gets down to crunch time, I think the Padres will be sent back to timeout.
But I'll tell you this: those games, those Dodger Padre games, have been fantastic to watch, man. I'm sure they've been nerve wracking for you, but they've been super entertaining for me.
Yeah, entertaining up until the part the Dodgers blew some leads in those games and lost. So.
Oh, that Sunday night one, man.
Yeah, yeah. But just the intensity, man. It feels like a playoff game every time these two teams play. You can feel the tension and the dislike between these two teams, and I love it.
Yeah, and certainly, as a Dodger fan, the Giants have always been the team that you've kind of loathed the most, and I think that's always going to be true, but. Yeah, I think the Padres certainly with Machado and Tatis and now bringing Snell over, and they've got a good roster that, you know, it's going to be competitive, and there's going to be, you know, a lot of back and forth there. You had a bench clearing situation in one of those games earlier this season. So there's some bad feelings, I think, between the two franchises. I think certainly more bad feelings on the Padres' part just because the Dodgers have. Let's face it, they've had their way against them and have had a lot more success. But when the Padres come into Dodger Stadium and beat them 3 out of 4, I think that certainly gets your attention. So it's a long season. These two teams can play a lot of times, and hopefully by the time, All-Star game gets here and beyond, the Dodgers will be playing a lot better than they are right now, because right now they're not playing very well.
No, I got to mention it too. You know where I'm going, John? My Brewers are 6-1 against the Dodgers and Padres, 3-1 against the Dodgers, and so just thought I'd mention.
And
then they lose like 6 in a row. But anyway,
let's talk about the Titans, good
talking to you, Jim.
Yeah, goodbye, Jim. We'll talk Titans another day.
So hey, we're looking
about some Vandy football now.
Yeah. So how about Father Ryan? You want to go there? Hey, you online TennesseeTitans.com, you have a 25 newcomers, and that doesn't count the undrafted free agency. We've got some questions. Has there been an undrafted free agent list been released?
I think it'll be probably, if I had to say, probably Friday, and the reason why we're behind. Like obviously when the draft ends, the agents, the players, know, they start putting out there where their guys are signing.
Right.
And the teams, and back in my Tennessee days, obviously I'm hunting those down and putting them out myself. Now it's different because, you know, the teams want to bring these guys to town. They want to get them to sign physicals. There have been cases where guys have said they're coming one place and they end up going another. Man, like Garrett Blunt was one of those guys way back in the day who kind of flipped after initially just thinking he was going somewhere else. So, you know, the team wants to get these guys in here. They want to give them physicals and they want to make sure they're good to go. So I would think that that's going to be, Thursday or Friday when that happens, when guys start to come in town for a rookie orientation and mini camp. There's not going to be as many. I mean, I think you've seen the Titans since the draft ended. They've already signed, you know, four more guys, and I think some of that's just because you know your numbers are going to be a little bit lower from an undrafted free agent standpoint. Another off season where you just don't have as much in person stuff happening, where it's tougher on these undrafted guys. You prefer to have some players who have kind of been through the process before. But I think you'll start to see the whole list from an official standpoint at the end of this week.
Jimmy White is our guest from TitansOnline.com. All right, I don't know if he gave a grade out for the draft, Jimmy, but obviously Caleb Farley, the first pick, 22 overall. And listen, if this guy's healthy, we're all in agreement. This guy has the potential to be a great pro. What's the expectation level in terms of him being healthy? Two back surgeries, ACL. Should we expect him to be ready by training camp?
Well, everything I've heard, and a lot of it is what I've heard from him, has been, hey, I expect to be ready. I think the GM, the head coach, I think the team's training staff, they're obviously going to err on the side of caution there. They're not going to rush him back, you know, kind of like you don't win pennants in, in May. You don't win Super Bowls necessarily at the start of July and in July, in August, obviously. You know, you want to get these guys up to speed and in action and get their learning curve going as fast as possible. But if you want to be completely safe, then you give him as much time as possible and then you try to ease him back in. So, I mean, coming to this team for so long, 20 years now, it's hard to believe, but I have just seen, no matter with the coach Jeff Fisher or Mike Munchak or Mike Mularkey or Kim Wisenhunt or Mike Vrabel, it just seems like coaches always tend to err on the side of caution, give these guys a little bit more time just to make sure they're completely good to go before they get them in there. So if he's not ready for the start of camp, I don't think that's necessarily should be alarming. I just think that they're going to be careful with him. Listening to Farley, and I've talked to him. I talked to him, the Friday after the draft when he was in town, and obviously talked to him on that conference call. And he seems like he's optimistic about his chances. But the kids are always going to be optimistic, and I'm sure he's ready to put this behind him as fast as he possibly can. But I don't necessarily think the medical staff and coaching staff is going to be as quick to dismiss it because they want to protect their investment and they want to make sure he's good when it really matters.
Jim White with us. I thought the second round, offensive tackle Dylan Radins of North Dakota State, and he's an All-American there. That's maybe quite a bit. It's probably better than most FBS. A lot of the FBS, not most, but
especially
a lot,
that program.
Especially. But and also remember someone who was drafted from that level, played a long time at left tackle, named Michael Roos of Eastern Washington. So that doesn't bother me at all. I like the way this guy looks.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, before you led into Roos, I was going to kind of go there because I have heard some people kind of question the pick a little bit because of where he plays, and he's not a SEC guy or a Big Ten guy, so people want to throw a little shade his way. He's a solid player, and there's no question. I mean, and look who he's been playing with, a quarterback who was picked, number three overall. So he's been good at the level he's played. I think everything from a technical standpoint to the, to athleticism standpoint to just being a smart player, I think he's going to slide in and be be up to speed when he gets here. I mean, he's a very mature young man. He lost his father at a young age. Kind of his you know, A.J. Blazek, offensive line coach at Vanderbilt, who was his offensive line coach out at North Dakota State, just said how he's been the head of his household or the father figure of his household since he was in the fifth or sixth grade. I mean, he had to grow up in a hurry. So I expect him to be, to compete for that starting spot right out of the gate. Now, does that mean he's a shoe-in for that right tackle job? No, because he's coming in and competing against a guy like Kendall Lamb, who has played before. He's competing with Tyson Rayo, who's obviously done it before. David Quisenberry, is still going to be in that competition. So I think, if I had to place bets on week one starter, I don't know that I necessarily would put my money on him, but maybe he'll surprise me. And I do think it's a scenario kind of like Nate Davis a couple of years ago. Maybe he ends up sliding into that spot week four, week five, if everything goes well. We'll see. That's just me speculating.
Jimmy, what about what about Monty Rice? Linebacker out of Georgia. No one's really talked about him since he got drafted. Where do you think he fits in?
Well, I'll say this about him, because a lot of people have questioned that pick too.
Yeah.
And while you're taking inside backer at your third pick, I was talking to somebody about this, and I think they made a good point. Let's say they take Elijah Molden with that first of the third round picks, and you take Monty Rice after that, then maybe people don't look at it quite like they did, scrutinizing it like they did. If maybe Molden's at 92 and Rice is at 100, even though it's only eight picks between the two of them, I think when you look at the sheet of paper, you think, well, I'll be taking inside linebacker with a third pick. Maybe if he's sitting at the fourth pick for you, it's not scrutinized as much. I think I get it. Rashawn Evans, and Jayon Brown both have expiring contracts, so you're trying to protect yourself, moving forward. And I think he's a guy that can help you early. Of all the picks, that one kind of was the one that maybe surprised me the most of any of them. But again, when I've kind of thought more about it and realized, kind of like I said, if maybe Molden goes with the third for the Titans, maybe it's not scrutinized quite as much. I think he's going to be a really good player. It's just a matter of how soon he makes his big impact. And then Molden, since I touched on him, I think he may be my favorite pick of the draft, just because of everything I've heard about him, his background with his father playing the league, just his ability as a slot guy, and just his football instincts. He just sounds like a football junkie. I've had several people tell me, have spent some time with him, that he kind of reminds you a little bit of Corbin Finnegan, just kind of with the feisty play. So I think Molden may have ended up being my favorite pick of the whole draft class.
Jim Wyatt with us at J. Wyatt Sports. Follow him on Twitter. He's on the F&M Bank phone line. What is June 1st? What impact is June 1st going to have, not necessarily exclusively with the Titans, but on the league? Of course, that's the time that they can split bonus onto two cap hits, basically, right? The bonus money. So how is that going to impact the league? Because I'm hearing there's going to be quite a few players out there in that market.
Yeah, I think so. I'll say that a lot of times though, that has been a big date circled, and it sometimes kind of like the trade deadline, it doesn't live up to some of the hype. I think this year could be a little bit different because of the cap constraints and because of what teams have dealt with as a result of the pandemic. I still think the Titans. I'll be curious to see how it impacts the Titans. I mean, I think if you look at Tennessee and the cap money that they're dealing with, and then some players who have contracts that could be renegotiated to get yourself some more room. John Robinson even talked about that the day the draft ended, is they still have a little bit of flexibility. So whether teams do it by renegotiating players or teams do it by releasing players, I'll be curious myself the strategy that's taken across the league.
Kind of a sneaky signing, I think, for the Titans. We were talking about it last week, right, Greg? The Brian Hill signing, the running back from Atlanta, limited carries last year, but put up some pretty decent numbers, and he seems like he's got a little bit of ability there.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, certainly, who the starter is going to be. But then after that, I mean, you've got a guy that was picked last year that didn't play a lot and was injured a good chunk of the season, and now you've got a veteran that you're adding to the mix. So I think he's capable of coming in and certainly making this team, and can do a number of things for you. So he's one of a number of guys that's been signed since the draft that is somewhat interesting to me in their fight to make the 53.
Hey, I can tomorrow night. What, 7 o'clock Central? The schedules come out.
That's
is
right,
that what
the
it
schedule.
Is? I can go. I can tell you who they're playing and where. If you could tell us when, that'd be good.
Yeah,
it's funny. That's still an interesting. I mean, I know it's not like it used to be where you'd find out the schedule, and the dates all at the same time. Now you know who you're playing. It's still interesting though, because you get to find out who your primetime games are. You get to find your home opener, your road opener. A lot of people, playing in their falls around certain dates.
And for the players, Jimmy, they want to know when that bye week is, right?
Yeah, and the bye week's important too. And for me, I'm curious to see when they're playing in LA against the Rams, because if that's sometime in October, about the time my guys are hitting their stride, I could pair up.
No, you can double dip there.
Go to Dodger Stadium on Friday and Saturday night before a game on Sunday.
I hope it's in December.
And then I've also got, one of the first things I always look at is where the Titans play the weekend of the Vanderbilt-Tennessee King game, because I've got a streak that you guys know of, I'm sure, that's gone on since 1978.
Wow.
It's going to be a challenge if the Titans are playing in Seattle, let's say, the day after the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game. It could be the end of my streak, so I need a home game there. So you got to factor in a lot of things here when the schedule comes out. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I do think we're going to know probably when you guys are on air in the morning who the opener is, because the league this year is going to let their broadcast partners announce their week one schedule. So
all right.
I
nice.
Would think at some time in the morning you're going to know who the opener is and where it's going to be and what station it's going to be on, whether it's going to be prime time or not. So that'll give you guys something to talk about other than the Dodgers.
Oh, man, what was your closest call since 1978, the UT Vandy game? The closest call.
How much time have we got left?
No,
this is quite a story. It was 2013.
Well, you want to hold through the break? We'd love to hear this.
Yeah, I got to hear this story.
I have to say.
Okay, let's we'll hold Jim. We want to hear this story. Jim Wyatt with us, Titans senior writer and editor, right here, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rear view mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company. Now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That, paired with a cup of coffee, is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your
your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Is your credit card debt piling up? Pacific Debt can help. Pacific Debt is the nation's friendliest debt settlement company. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of five-star reviews on sites like Trustpilot and Best Company, they can settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe. In fact, they've settled over $300 million, helping people just like you. Get a monthly program payment you can afford and zero upfront fees. Get free information now. 800-281-9981. 800-281-9981.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Gather round, kids. Uncle Jim has
story time with Jimmy Wyatt.
With Uncle Jim. All right, Jim, you were talking about 1978, your streak of attending Tennessee Vanderbilt football games. Of course, everybody should know that he's a Vanderbilt fan. Graduated from UT.
Yeah, went to UT, but he's Vanderbilt, a diehard Vandy fan.
And Vandy fan, so yep. He's already messed up.
that's why we love him.
So the closest, because obviously, when did you start covering the Titans? In the 90, what? 8?
99 was my first
okay,
year.
Okay, 99? Yeah. So tell us about the closest call.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of crazy ones. Like my wife thinks I'm crazy, but she's lived with it for 29 years now. So, last year was a piece of cake. I had this game in Nashville. I was fortunate enough to get in during the pandemic. I stood on top of the press box and for that night game, and I drove to Jacksonville because you can't get a flight out that night or in the morning. Got to Jacksonville about 5 a.m. The Sunday of the game. I flew a couple of times morning of. To Chicago, I think one year, driven to Indy a couple of times, a lot of times, 5 a.m. arrivals in the city before a Sunday noon game. But the biggest challenge, and I pretty much had conceded I wasn't going to be able to do it, was in 2013, Vanderbilt plays Tennessee in Knoxville, and the schedule comes out, and Titans are in Oakland, California the very next day for a 1 o'clock kickoff out there. So
I remember that, by the way. I was on that trip.
Yeah, so I'm saying, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to make this trip. But then I started, but as the game got closer and I realized what the streak was and I didn't want to end it, I ended up finding, and what I ended up doing is I went to the Vanderbilt, Tennessee game at night. I think it was at 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff. The game probably ended around midnight on a Patrick Robinette touchdown run, little fake jump pass. Got around the edge and Vanderbilt won the game. So when I went to the Knoxville airport, I had a place at the airport hotel. I didn't end up sleeping because I had a flight out the next morning at 5 a.m. So I probably got back to my room probably around 3 in the morning. Had a 5 o'clock flight from Knoxville to Chicago, connected Chicago, went from Chicago to San Francisco, took the BART from San Francisco to the Oakland Coliseum, walked across that walkway into the Coliseum and made it to the stadium probably about an hour before kickoff.
Wow.
And was in Titan Field that day, and that game ended with Ryan Fitzpatrick touchdown pass to Kendall Wright. The Titans won it late. I knew that I was going to be just dead tired after not sleeping the night before. So I said, I can't afford to even sleep and go to sleep in California, because I knew I had to make it back for a press conference the next day, too. I was working at the Tennessean at the time, and they don't want to hear any excuses about you're missing things because you want to go to a Vanderbilt Tennessee football game. So, I covered the football game in California. After the game ended, I took the BART back to San Francisco, took the red eye back. I was pretty much hallucinating at this stage. I had not had any sleep. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't find a flight from Nashville to Minneapolis, where my connection was in the international gate. And then I finally realized, you know, hey, I'm in the wrong place. So I took the red eye from San Francisco to Minneapolis, from Minneapolis back to Nashville, ended up covering that Titans game, probably ended up spending maybe, you know, 10 hours in the state of California, never slept in the state of California.
Wow.
And that was my round trip for that week.
Wasn't cheap either, I bet.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. It was surprising because you get those connections and you get those red eyes. It ended up being pretty cheap. So,
And you got two wins.
That's exactly right.
That's right. So, got two dubs
and not a lot, and not 2 hours sleep. So that one about wore me out. I think for about a week I was still recovering from that one.
That's a great story.
Story time with Jim. Hey Jim, thanks man. Appreciate it as always. See you, buddy.
Okay, y'all have a good week. I appreciate it.
Take care, Jimmy.
And Jim Wyatt on the F&M Bank phone line. News you want to mention it? Bob Baffert with the mea culpa.
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to really read it. I know he's got a statement out, but we'll talk about that on the other side.
We'll take a break and we'll give you the news. Bob Baffert coming up next.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.